When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
And welcome to the bonus episode of the Serie A Chronicles podcast. I'm Mina Rizzuki, and I'm joined by a very special guest today. It's Phil Kitromelides from the Spanish Football Podcast, from La Liga TV, from... God, Phil, you do so much stuff right now, but most importantly, you do present La Liga TV, so you are our Spanish football expert, which is why we have you today. Hello and welcome. How are you?
Hi, Mina. You made me feel like a special guest. You've made me feel special with that intro. So thanks very much. Yeah, pleased to be here. And it's a good time to get me on the podcast, I guess, isn't it? With two Italian teams playing two Spanish teams in the Champions League coming up in the second legs.
Forza Calcio. I'm joking. No, I'm actually a massive Spanish football fan, but I'm mostly I do like Carlo Ancelotti at Real Madrid.
Everyone likes Carlo Ancelotti, to be honest. Even Barcelona fans wouldn't really begrudge Carlo Ancelotti that much. He's that kind of figure that can unify even the deepest of... I don't know if Inter fans like Carlo Ancelotti, probably not. Maybe it doesn't go that deep, but he is certainly a figure that the way he handles things and the way he handles the kind of high-pressure situation of Real Madrid-Barcelona. Let's say he hasn't made any enemies, and I think Barcelona fans could even say that they don't mind him because he's that kind of figure. So yeah, you like him, and I think everyone likes Carlo.
Well, tax authorities don't, but I feel like everyone that goes to Spain has allegedly. I feel like everyone in Spain has something to do with tax authorities. Like, there's always something or a news story.
There is. There's always an issue. Usually nothing happens. They come to an agreement with the authorities. They pay off a fine. They admit culpability. They pay off a fine and it's done. It happened with Xavi Alonso, actually, and he did not accept culpability and he took it to court and he challenged it and he won. And had he not won, he could have been in serious trouble. But he did not accept culpability. So let's see what Carlo does, because he actually thinks that he's done absolutely nothing wrong. So, I'm not a tax expert, but I think we'll probably see him avoid jail. I don't think he's going to jail.
Oh, his eyebrows. Although I feel like he'd have a terrific time over there. They'd all be such fans of his. let's get to, Madrid's over now. They've qualified by the skin of their teeth.
Yes.
It's over, of course, to Barcelona and Napoli. That's where we're going to start. Napoli, I was telling some of our guests, because I do read a lot of what happens, and I realized that Deco had gotten into trouble about doing an interview in which he talked about them changing their style of play. They've somewhat regressed this season. Obviously, we all know that Xavi's leaving and all of this business. Then they suffered two injuries over the weekend with an injury to De Jong. Defensively, they look absolutely, I would say, mediocre, but it's poor. I mean, coming from somebody who loves Italian football, this is poor defensively from them. I don't understand what's happened to the likes of Araujo, who looked like a world-class centre-back last season, but right now is looking a little bit vulnerable. I don't know whether it's the tactics. Looking at them now against a better Napoli. Last time they played each other, they were still under Walter Mazzarri, who's a very pragmatic and, I would say, probably a poor coach in all honesty. But Calzone is doing a terrific job. Two wins on the bounce now. They've beaten Juventus. They beat Sassuolo. They thrashed Sassuolo. But I would say Barcelona feel confident, right?
I think they feel confident for a couple of reasons. One, they're at home, so they're generally quite confident against most teams at home. And B, because of their performance in that first leg, they felt that they came away from that game having played better than Napoli and having deserved to win. And we've not seen Barcelona play pretty well for months. I mean, they've been getting wins, they've been getting grinding out results, but they haven't actually been putting in good performances at all. And it's strange because we've seen them getting results, but not putting in good performances. And against Napoli, we saw them put in a good performance, but not necessarily get the results. So I think they're confident that they've got the upper hand over Napoli in terms of play, and they're at home. Now, you mentioned the two injuries they picked up at the weekend. No Pedri and no Frenkie de Jong in the heart of midfield to go with no Gavi, who's out for the rest of the season as well. So that's their three key midfielders out. And if you think about last season, when they won the league, they won the Spanish Super Cup, all four midfielders from that team are no longer available because Busquets has gone, and those three are all out injured as well. So there are problems. There are problems in the midfield. Ilkay Gundogan will play. He'll have to play as a sort of the senior member of the midfield. But otherwise, it's going to be a makeshift. We might see Andreas Christensen play. We'll probably
really?
Yeah, he's been playing the pivot role for the last month, and he's been starting every game, and he's been doing it okay, sort of simply, you know, doesn't take too many risks, plays simple passes, but he's been doing okay. Probably see him and Gundogan and maybe the youngster Fermin Lopez. I don't know. Barcelona have got a game tonight. We're recording on Friday, so they've got a game tonight against Mallorca, and we'll see who he selects for that game, which might give some indications of who's going to play against Napoli. But they've got some problems in the midfield, which might bring down the confidence levels a little bit. But overall, I think after that first leg, they were really quite positive because they played well. The negative is that they played well and they didn't win, and they let Napoli back into that game. And that defensive frailty that you've spoken about, they do look fragile. So Napoli didn't have much in the game until they scored. And then they scored out of more or less nothing. And then Barca were sort of hanging on a little bit towards the end. So they are a fragile team defensively. And it's not just the back four, is it? We know that defending starts, you know, higher up the pitch. And it's not just about the four defenders. But the performance levels have dropped. Araujo, as you mentioned, his performance levels have dropped compared to last season. Jules Koundé, who's one of the best defenders in Europe last season.
Absolutely.
Or with Sevilla. Unrecognizable this season. So, yeah.
What changed for the defence? Is it the absence of somebody as important as Sergio Busquets, obviously, going? Was that was he the man who held it together a little bit, and now they're just so open? Or do you think this is something to do with Xavi and his tactics? He was under a lot of pressure be a little bit, you know, more attacking.
No, there is that. But I don't think we can overlook the fact that Sergio Busquets left after a decade and a half, and suddenly Barcelona look a lot more exposed. They brought the ball out from the back a lot better with Sergio Busquets in the team. I think that's, you know, that's an obvious thing to say, but it's pretty clear, and we've seen that this season. It's difficult to know how really, really good players can have their level drop so dramatically. Araujo has had some physical problems. He's had some injuries. Jules Koundé has been playing out of position for a while. He's been playing as a right back. He was playing last season as a right back, and he's been playing this season as a right back as well. And he's not necessarily a right back. I think he'd prefer to play in the heart of defence. But yeah, it's difficult to pinpoint one thing, because the whole structure, the whole setup from Barcelona has been quite unconvincing this season. And last year, they did win the league. They won the La Liga at a canter. You know, I think they finished 10 points ahead of Real Madrid. They were 16, 17 points ahead at one point. And they won the league with four or five matches to spare. So they took their foot off the pedal. But they won 11 games 1-0 last season. So there were fine margins and Robert Lewandowski was firing on all cylinders and Ter Stegen was really, really good in goal. And this season, Ter Stegen's missed a large chunk of the season and Robert Lewandowski has not been the Robert Lewandowski that we all know. So taking that into consideration as well, the performance from last year, perhaps they were overachieving on their expected wins. I don't think that's a metric, is it? Expected wins, but I think they overachieved their expected wins last season, and now maybe this season we're seeing it revert back to the norm a little bit.
Head to SerieAChronicles.com/Patreon now and subscribe to the Chronicles Tifosi Patreon membership with a free 7-day trial. Get early access to every full-length episode and voice note before the rest of the world. Plus, all episodes are 100% ad-free. And you get bonus Patreon-only exclusive episodes, video episodes, and behind-the-scenes extras. Also, be sure to join the new chat community in the Patreon app and chat with fellow subscribers.
You speak of Lewandowski. It was interesting because he, like you said, he was so important last season. And then he started off the season rather not very well. And a lot has been said about him. But would you say that he's a little bit back into it now? Mm. He's back. Mm. He obviously won Player of the Month recently. He seems to be back to being an authority in the dressing room, which is perhaps really important for this Barcelona side, that they step up, that you have some of their captains step up, because Gundogan has been really important. And I feel like with the absence of somebody like you mentioned, of Sergio Busquets, it's important for Lewandowski to do that.
Yeah, definitely. He was Player of the Month in La Liga for February, 4 goals from 4 starts. And it wasn't just the 4 goals that he scored. He scored 4 sort of really Robert Lewandowski kind of goals, like really, really good finishes. And the goal we saw against Napoli as well in the first leg, that was, you know, a sensational, sensational finish and a really sort of Lewandowski kind of finish, back to sort of prime Lewandowski. And that's good. That's good news for Barcelona.
Also, Montjuic, just to ask you that, because they are no longer playing in the Camp Nou and everyone's talking about Montjuic as being sort of a bogey thing for them.
It's rubbish.
So you said, the first thing you said when I said to you, do they feel confident? And now you said, well, they're at home. And I'm like, yeah, but it's Montjuic and they've been rather, you know.
It's true. It's true. I mean, compared to the Camp Nou in terms of a stadium experience, it is incomparably poor. It's a really, really poor stadium to go and watch a football match. I mean, from the outside, it's quite nice. And, you know, they had the Olympics there in 92 and it's at a park and you walk up a hill and it's quite picturesque, yada, yada, yada. But in terms of atmosphere and maybe intimidation, I mean, the Camp Nou, it's 99,000. It's the biggest stadium in Europe. And all right, you know, not the whole stadium cheers. And it's not maybe like some stadiums like in Bilbao or maybe even Napoli, you know, where the atmosphere is so raucous, but it's still huge and cavernous and imposing. And opposing players feel that when they go there. And Montjuic is not like that. It is open. The fans are far away from the crowd. The size of it, you know, only about 45,000 have been turning up max. You know, Barcelona have around 50, 60,000 socios, season ticket holders, and only 17,000 of them took up their option to have a season ticket at Montjuic this season.
Wow. Like,
they're not that interested in going there. So, the atmosphere is not going to be raucous. It's not going to be intimidating, and it should be pretty easy for Napoli to cope from that perspective. I don't think they're going to be intimidated by what they find at Montjuic. So, and listen, Barcelona's home form hasn't been great this season. Maybe because of that. I mean, that's certainly a factor. And the Camp Nou is, like we said, it's unique in terms of its size, in terms of its imposingness. And Montjuic is almost the opposite. So, yeah, I mean, Napoli fans, if you're listening, you're going to a stadium which is open. It's not intimidating at all. So I think that's maybe a point in Napoli's favour. So I guess I have contradicted myself, Mina, because I said they were confident and they're at home. And but I guess what I meant was they came away from Napoli and, you know, going there is one of the toughest away games in Europe, I think, in terms of the fiery atmosphere you can experience. I used to work for Real Madrid TV and I travelled with the team for Champions League games, and I was there, I think it was in 2017 when Real Madrid played Napoli in the knockout stages. And they opened the stadium, I think, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And by 4:30, there was 30,000 people there. Like, I've never seen anything like that anywhere else in Europe. So yeah, for Barcelona to have come away from that imposing away trip with a 1-1 draw is not a bad result.
You know, I was really like a little bit upset before the first match, because I really genuinely believe that this was going to be a brilliant tie between two teams that had won the league last season. But unfortunately, this season they have tailed off and they've been really poor versions of themselves. Obviously, Napoli have been one of the worst defenders of the league title that we've seen in Serie A. And under Walter Mazzarri, they were displaying some of the poorest football that we had watched in a while, because they couldn't really score the goals. That was the problem. They were focusing too much on defense. But having since changed coaches again and they brought in Calzone, they seem to have rediscovered that firepower. And it obviously helps that Victor Osimhen has come back from the African Cup of Nations. That's got to be something that Barcelona are terrified about. So gun to your head, I'm going to ask you now, because do you think that Napoli can get past this Barcelona side?
Yeah, absolutely. I think anybody can get past this Barcelona side, because they are so fragile and they don't have the confidence and they're missing players and they don't have much momentum and they haven't been playing particularly well. So yeah, absolutely, Napoli can get past this team. And
what are the odds?
I'm not a bookie, Mina. I'm not very good at maths. But
give me your own prediction. What do you
think? I don't think it's that far. I mean, it's maybe 60-40 in Barcelona's favour, maybe something like that, but it's not. And Victor Osimhen is like feared, I think, in across Europe, but in Spain, there is a lot of respect for him and his aerial prowess. And, we saw what he can do in the... in the first leg. So yeah, Napoli fans should be going into this not confident, but it's game on. It's 1-1. I mean, you know, there's no away goals, so it's level. The game is level. You're up against the Barcelona side that have been out of form, question. The manager's going at the end of the season. The stadium's rubbish. You know, it's on. It's game on. It's game on.
And Lamine Yamal, would he be the one that makes a difference?
It's ridiculous to be talking about an actual child being the difference maker for Barcelona, but he's been their most important player this season. He got rested at the weekend. He wasn't in the starting 11 to play against the Athletic Club in Bilbao. And the manager said, listen, we've got to rest him a little bit. He's played so many minutes. He's still growing. And someone told me the other day, I haven't actually been able to verify this, but someone told me that since he made his debut at the start of the season, he's put on 7 kilos. Like, he's bulked up. He's grown a couple of inches as well. Like, he's 16. Like, he's still growing. So physically, he's changing. And yeah, it is quite extraordinary to see a child be so important for such a big team. And I think it speaks of his talent and what an extraordinary talent he is, and be the situation that Barcelona are in at the moment. But yeah, he's certainly, I fully expect him to start. Again, the caveat, they've got a game tonight against Mallorca, so let's see whether he starts that or not, or whether it's Rafinha, João Félix as an option as well. But yeah, he's been maybe one of the bright sparks for Barcelona this season in a pretty disappointing season.
So rested against Athletic Bilbao, and that's perhaps why...
I mean, he was rested, but he had to come on after 45 minutes because Pedri got injured, so he didn't get the whole night off, but he wasn't in the starting 11, yeah.
But it was still 0-0. And I thought that there was just so much hope for them to try to do something special. But okay, so you think that Barcelona, Napoli have a great chance, but you still feel like it's a Barcelona win?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, Barcelona...
1-0,
mild favourites. Yeah, oh, score prediction, come on.
Become a member at patreon.com/Serie A Chronicles for regular bonus episodes and content.
Sports Social Podcast Network.